From the best-selling Heroes of History series, Emerald Books presents Christopher Columbus, Across the Ocean Sea, by Janet and Jeff Benge. Read for you by Tim Gregory. For information about other titles from this outstanding series that brings history to life, please visit emeraldbooks.com or call 800-922-2143. Note to readers. The voyages of Christopher Columbus were without question a turning point in the history of the world, and any study of history would be incomplete without delving into Columbus's fascinating and consequential life story. However, the inclusion of Columbus's story in the Heroes of History series is in no way an endorsement of all reported in Christopher Columbus, Across the Ocean Sea. Nor is it an endorsement of Columbus's apparent view of Christianity or of indigenous peoples. Our intention is to recognize Columbus's monumental achievements and far-reaching influence, and to tell his story honestly in an effort to provide our readers with a panorama of American history. The Heroes of History biographies are all written from the subject's point of view. Therefore, this account of the life of Christopher Columbus reflects Columbus's viewpoint as much as possible, constraining the authors from commenting outright on events from other perspectives or detailing scholarly disputes. We encourage parents and teachers to discuss this book with young readers and assist them in exploring this important topic further. We encourage all readers whose interest is captured by Christopher Columbus, Across the Ocean Sea, to consult varied sources and later historical perspectives to round out their understanding of Christopher Columbus, the age of exploration, and the lands and peoples encountered by and forever changed by Columbus's enterprise of the Indies. The Publisher. Chapter 1. Marooned.
Admiral, I don't think the Bermuda is going to make it,
Bartolomeo Fesci said as he stood beside Christopher Columbus on the deck of La Capitana. Christopher, weak and feverish from malaria, stared across the ocean at the Bermuda, their sister ship.
Yes, she's in trouble, sinking lower into the water with each passing hour, he replied. At this rate, it won't be long before the waves start washing over her gunwales.
The first inclination Christopher had was to order the Bermuda's crew to abandon ship. But to where? La Capitana was not in much better shape and could not handle the extra weight.
How are things below deck? He asked. Our crews are slogging away, but the water just keeps pouring back in faster than they can bail it out. It won't be much longer, and we'll be sitting as low in the water as the Bermuda,
Bartolomeo replied. The two ships were making a desperate run for the island of Hispaniola, but it was now clear to Christopher that they were not going to make it. The headwind they were battling was just too strong, and Christopher knew he had to act fast to save the lives of his crew. He paced the deck, running his hand through his hair as he pondered his options.
Come about to starboard,
Christopher finally barked at La Capitana's helmsman. The helmsman acted decisively, pulling on the vessel's heavy tiller while sailors scurried above in the rigging, tightening lines and adjusting the sails for the wind change on their new heading. La Capitana's bow slowly heaved to the right, each degree an effort with so much water in her bilges. The Bermuda soon matched La Capitana's new direction. Meanwhile, Bartolomeo raised his eyebrows and looked at Christopher. He did not have to speak. Christopher knew his question. Why south?
I know Hispaniola is in sight, but with this head wind we'll never make it,
Christopher explained.
If my reckoning is right, Jamescu is 100 miles to our south. I explored there on an earlier voyage. The wind on this heading is more favorable, and we stand a better chance of making landfall before we sink.
Let's hope your reckoning is right, Admiral,
Bartolomeo said.
Everyone's life depends upon it.
We'll make it, Christopher assured him. Christopher then barked out another order for every available sheet of sail to be hoisted to take advantage of the prevailing wind. As the two ships plowed their way south, he kept a close eye on the Bermuda, half expecting her to sink below the water at any time. As the hours passed, Christopher scanned the horizon for any sign of Jimescu, Jamaica. He had seen nothing of the island when darkness finally descended and enveloped the two ships. On other nights, the vessels would have lowered their sails and drifted together, not wanting to sail on and risk hitting a reef in the darkness. But things were too desperate now for such precautions, and Christopher ordered the ships ahead at full sail. He would take his chances. But an uneasy feeling crept over him as he stood alone on the poop deck of La Capitana. Would the Bermuda still be afloat in the morning? Or would she go to the bottom in the darkness, taking her crew with her? As the first long orange rays of sunshine streaked across the ocean surface the following morning, Christopher's fears were allayed. The Bermuda was still afloat, barely. And as the sun rose higher and began to sparkle on the bright blue ocean, Bartolomeo rushed to Christopher's side to point out an even better sight ahead. Emerging over the horizon was the lush, jungle-clad coastline of Jimescu.
"Your reckoning was right, Admiral,"
Bartolomeo said, relief evident in his voice. Christopher smiled to himself. Whatever else he had been accused of in his life, being a poor navigator was not one of those things. As Jimescu rose larger before them, Christopher recognized the lay of the land and gave the order for La Capitana to steer several degrees to port. The Bermuda followed their new course. An hour later, the two ships sailed into a broad bay, Santa Gloria Bay, rimmed with a wide, glistening white sand beach. Once again, Christopher yelled out orders.
"Dead ahead at full speed! Beach her as high as you can!"
It was an order he had never given before. After the two ships were run aground, the men climbed off and ran around on the sand. They laughed and hugged each other. It was a satisfying moment for Christopher. Two crews had depended on him, and he had brought them to safety. As he peered into the dense jungle beyond the beach, Christopher began to wonder what would happen to them next. It was true that they were now safe from sinking, but it was also true that they were marooned in an empty bay on an island an ocean away from home, and not one person in the outside world knew where they were. Instinctively, Christopher called the men together for a mass on the beach. Since his first memories as a small child, religious services had given him hope and inspiration, and he would need both if he was going to find a way to get himself and his men home again.